In 1996, journalist Gary Webb ignited a firestorm with his Dark Alliance series, exposing how CIA-connected Nicaraguan drug traffickers flooded Los Angeles with cocaine in the 1980s, fueling the devastating crack epidemic in black communities. The story became an early internet sensation, receiving over a million hits in a single day. Despite a coordinated media counterattack that ultimately cost Webb his career and contributed to his tragic suicide in 2004, subsequent CIA and Justice Department investigations would vindicate many of his core findings. How could American intelligence agencies allow drug trafficking to flourish in service of foreign policy? And why did the establishment fight so hard to bury this truth? When Sandinista revolutionaries overthrew Nicaragua's American-backed Somoza dictatorship in July 1979, they created a wave of exiles, including Danilo Blandon, who arrived in Los Angeles as cocaine experts were gathering elsewhere to discuss the approaching epidemic. By 1981, the CIA had recruited former National Guard Colonel Enrique Bermudez to lead the resistance against the Sandinistas. His organization, the Nicaraguan Democratic Forces, FDN, became the CIA's primary contra army. Though Reagan approved nearly $20 million for covert operations, the money went to Argentine military advisors rather than directly to the cash-starved Contras. This funding gap created the cocaine connection. Blandon, who had formed an exile group in Los Angeles, was introduced to Nicaraguan gangster Norwin Menezes, who proposed selling drugs to finance the Contra Revolution. While Contra leaders later denied official connections, evidence showed Menezes served as Bermudez's intelligence advisor in California, screening potential recruits. Contra commander Bermudez's ends justify the means philosophy guided his fundraising approach. After meeting him, Menezes taught Blandon cocaine dealing, providing 2 kilos worth $60,000 each. Blandon sold drugs to fund the FDN's Los Angeles operations. Meanwhile, Ricky Ross was discovering cocaine's potential. Raised fatherless in South Central, his tennis career ended when functional illiteracy blocked college opportunities. He turned to crime, moving from auto theft to cocaine dealing. Ross became Blandon's biggest customer, unaware of his supply's origins. As wholesale prices dropped, Ross noticed customers converting powder into rocks and capitalized on this trend. He began selling Ready Rock in $20 hits, first in foil, then glass vials, creating an intensely addictive product. Crack cocaine devastated South Central, democratizing the drug for users who could afford small $5-$25 doses and dealers needing minimal startup investment. What began as patriotic fundraising evolved into a devastating epidemic. By 1984, Blandon supplied Ross with increasing cocaine amounts without interference. While South Central dealers faced arrests, the LAPD's Major Violators Unit ignored black neighborhoods, believing the money's not there. Menezes's operation similarly remained untouched despite multiple agency investigations. Dennis Ainsworth, a conservative Republican supporting the Contras, concluded Menezes was totally protected by the U.S. government. When FDN official Renato Peña was arrested in 1984, he told the DEA that the CIA permitted Contra drug trafficking for funding, with Blandon claiming the Contras would not have been able to operate without drug proceeds. Despite evidence, Menezes faced no charges and developed closer government ties. The DEA claimed he volunteered as an informant in 1986 to support the present U.S. administration's fight against drugs. Blandon also armed dealers through a security business run by Ronald Lister and William Lee Downing. "Everybody that worked with me bought a gun from him," Ross explained. "They sold everything from silenced pistols to assault rifles, plus sophisticated electronics like walkie-talkies and anti-eavesdropping equipment." During a 1987 raid, police were stunned by the dealers' better equipment than we have. According to manufacturer Timothy LaFrance, Lister's company had a CIA-directed mission to establish a weapons facility for Contras in Honduras, transporting machine guns with unusually quick State Department approval. By 1984-85, Ross was moving approximately 150 kilos weekly, enough for 3 million crack doses, with Blandon and partners sharing about $5.7 million weekly from his purchases. Ross had so much cash that Blandon suggested getting counting machines, as they were counting day and night. The crack explosion gained media attention in November 1984 when the Los Angeles Times published the first national story about it. A 1985 USC study noted that crack was ethnically specific to black areas. Ross explained, "There was no market until we created it. We started in our neighborhood and stayed there." As the dealer's dealer, Ross supplied dozens of rock houses across LA. When the market saturated, his gang customers spread nationwide. Even after attempting retirement in Cincinnati with $300,000, Ross returned when Blandon offered cocaine at $10,000 per kilo versus Cincinnati's $50,000. Ross quickly established operations across Cincinnati using his formula: free cocaine, smoke parties, and volume discounts. His network expanded to multiple cities, with Seattle police considering his organization the single most important group distributing crack cocaine in the Seattle-Tacoma area. Despite Reagan's public war on drugs, CIA officers admitted narcotics trafficking wasn't a priority in Central America. One officer candidly stated, "Drugs were not something my agents were looking for in the 1980s. Intelligence about Meneses and Contra drug dealing focused on Costa Rica's Guanacaste province, an area filled with Contra camps and landing strips. A Costa Rican legislative commission identified this region as headquarters for international cocaine trafficking during 1984-85. Pilot Werner Lotz testified that planes would deliver weapons to Contras alongside drugs, leaving the guns before continuing to U.S. markets. The landing fees were paid with weapons, he explained. These operations connected with traffickers like Barry Seal, who smuggled billions in drugs while working as a DEA informant. Described as a contract CIA operative, Seal was murdered in 1986, with investigations reportedly dropped to protect national security information. Despite extensive surveillance capabilities, American agencies proved ineffective at catching traffickers. A Senate subcommittee found not a single case against a trafficker made on the basis of a tip or report by a U.S. intelligence agency. Webb's 1996 series created an unprecedented media firestorm. By sharing documents online, he bypassed traditional gatekeepers, generating over 1 million web hits in a single day. The Boston Globe reported the story was pulsing through black neighborhoods like a shockwave. The establishment media responded swiftly. The Washington Post claimed, "Evidence is lacking of alleged plot," mischaracterizing Webb's reporting as claiming the CIA deliberately targeted black communities. The LA Times and New York Times similarly acknowledged basic facts while dismissing their significance. Despite uncovering more evidence, Webb's editors abandoned him. His follow-up stories were buried, and the Mercury News published a letter admitting mistakes, effectively ending his career. The revelation that American intelligence agencies knowingly permitted massive drug trafficking to support covert operations remains one of the darkest chapters in modern American history. Webb's reporting reminds us that democracy requires eternal vigilance, especially against those claiming to protect it.